This is Gijs calling in from Magalia, California. It is today the 9th day of January 2016. Sorry, 17. And another Monday evening gathering here online / on a conference call. Thank you for participating with this. No email was received yet by me regarding the topic for tonight. However, it will be interesting. We will wait for our host, Winfrey, to be here shortly, as I have seen his helicopter up there for a few minutes already. He will be landing soon. And that's why we... Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Prudence in Asheville, North Carolina.
Hello, Prudy. Welcome to the call.
Ah, thank you. Hi.
I love Prudy.
That's me. I like that better, actually.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, bless you. Thanks, everyone.
All right. I welcome you all, folks, on BBS Radio. Thank you for joining in. Online, we can see you. We cannot hear you. This is a simulcast with a conference call. We have, at this point, a few people here on the phone line. And we'll see what will happen. Last week's call, Wynn did question our sources regarding the creation of our realm over here. And he might continue with this topic. It's always quite interesting to hear those way out of the box answers coming through. Good evening, two people joining in. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Good evening to you.
Don't say anything nice about me. Oh, my God.
You want me to say something nice about you?
No, I said, don't say anything nice about me.
No.
Don't get his pride up.
All right, I'll say something nice about me. Irwin is showing up again.
I'm glad you're here, Irwin.
Thank you for that. We need you.
I'm glad you're on. Who is that?
Prudence. It's Prudy. My name. Prudy.
You're changing your name from Anita to
yes.
Prudence?
No, from Prudence to Prudy.
Okay.
All right. And we had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say a name and location.
But only if you want to.
We are at the clock of 6. Unfortunately, there was no email received by me regarding the announcement of tonight's call.
I did send an email out.
All right, good. Good evening to those who just came on board. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Mark in New York.
I believe it's somebody from New York. I can barely hear you.
Mark in New York.
Hi, Mark. Good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Hi.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome as well. Please say your name and location. Who's this?
The twin. Mark, are you new?
Hello?
Mark, are you new to our call?
Mark from New York. Have you listened in before, or is the first time you're calling in? He might be muted.
Never mind. It's okay.
And I welcome the next person. Thank you for being here. Please say a name and location.
Hello. Hi, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. All right. I welcome all those folks that are joining in here through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for being here. And the topic is getting detached.
You did get your email, right?
I just got it, yes. And I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say a name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the call.
I'm detached.
All right.
Hi.
Anyone else? If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jane. Good evening to you.
Hi. Thank you.
And Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, Don.
Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome, Don.
Thanks.
One more. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks. How are you tonight?
And Vin, by the way, Terry is not here yet.
I want her to be on when I start, because I think we're going to do a channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go in the other room, and I'll be right back. We got 2 minutes.
All right. Yes, and we are here at 6:02 California time, or Pacific. We are about to kick it off, as Wynn is looking for Terry to get online with us. All right. 47:33. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you, Harsh.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday.
Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Hello, Terry Brown.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
How are you?
I just did an error with my computer.
Uh-huh.
They have tricky things to get you to sign up for stupid things.
You fell for it.
I fell for it again.
It happens all the time.
Well, they give you the illusion that the computer loves you.
Yeah.
No, they give you the illusion that you have to sign up. It's absolutely urgent that you sign up right now for something or other.
You go on to do one or two things, and you end up like an hour later going, oh, my God, I can't get through.
I know. How come I'm getting all these weird emails?
Or even worse, you get a message on your computer screen that your computer has just been taken over. Call us for the password.
Yeah.
Right. I just got that like 2 days ago.
Oh no.
Yeah, I talked to a computer expert about it, and he said there's three different things that it could be. And one of them is real short-term and easy to get rid of. And he told me to turn my computer off at the switch on the computer itself. But you have to hold it in for 5 to 10 seconds and make sure the computer goes all the way off, because most of the time it just puts it to sleep when you just hit the button really quick.
Uh-huh.
And he said that's not the best way to turn off the computer, but in this kind of an instance, that's the way to get rid of the message that says your computer has been locked up. And there's a couple of other more serious kinds, but I had the simple kind, fortunately.
That's good. I got one of those today, you know. Beep, 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 beep. It's like your computer's been taken over. I turned it off, and it didn't work, and I turned it off again, and it didn't work. Turned it off again, and finally it went away.
I didn't know this either, but he said hold it in for 5 seconds, because that's the way to get it actually turned off and not put to sleep.
Okay, that was probably why I had to do it three times. I didn't hold it off long enough.
Yeah, and then when I did that with him on the phone, and magically everything came back, and that message was gone. And
you know what?
What's the worst case
scenario? Good to know.
Another really good way of fixing your computer, and this can help with a lot of problems. With PC, I don't know about the Mac, but they have something called System Restore. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, but you lose everything, don't you?
No, you don't. You don't.
No.
What you do is the computer, if it's operating properly, it creates restore points every time a new program is added, okay? And when you go to System Restore, you go back to the most recent restore point, which hopefully was whatever virus was put on your computer or whatever program was put on your computer, and you select that point. You know, it's like a calendar. You see January 1st, January 16th, and it tells you what was added. What it does is it restores the computer prior to that program. So it will take off that program, but everything else will be all the same. Anything you saved, any documents, will all be on there. But it takes off the program at that restore date. And if your computer just recently went on the fritz, if you restore it to the most previous restore date, it'll take off everything from that restore date to the present time. And then you can, if you're sure of the program, you can add it again. And if it screws up again, then know that there's something wrong with that program. But otherwise, it'll start operating perfectly. Did you guys follow that?
Yes, but how do you get to it, to that restore date?
Well, you know what? You go down, there's a little search bar at the bottom of your Windows thing on the lower left-hand side of the screen. And you just do a search for restore, and it'll come up with the system restore program on your computer. That's the easiest way to get it.
I think that's only on PCs. That's work for Apple computers.
No, I don't know if Apple has something similar to it. Hi, George. Nice to hear you. Of course, that's George. Who else sounds like George but George?
No, it's not George, it's Roger.
Is that Roger?
Yeah, it's Roger. That's me.
Roger sounds like George.
The other George.
Is that Roger in Austin?
Yeah.
My God, why do you sound
as far
like
as
George?
I know, it's still Austin.
I really screwed up, Roger. I'm damaging my credibility.
Austin and Roger.
Thank you. So, another thing, when on that turn-off procedure, 5 seconds might not be enough. It's better to be 30 seconds.
Okay.
It's just for holding the button in, not leaving the computer off.
Yeah,
he
can't
told me
hold
to
it in
hold
too
the
long.
Button in for 5 seconds in order to get it completely turned off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you should leave it off for at least 30 seconds before you turn it back on.
Somebody told me you should hold the button in for 30 seconds, so I don't know.
Well, if I hold the button in that long, the computer just starts to restart again.
No, it shouldn't do that. That's not right.
That's what it did when I held it in too long.
Oh.
Right.
Well, something else is going on here. I don't know about that.
Well, let's do a whole show on restoring your computer.
Yeah, but let's start out with how can I get my headset working? It just is blinking at me and not taking up. They have to shut everything off and hang up and then go and turn everything off and on. When?
I don't know.
Because I don't want to channel with this up to my ear. Okay, I'm going to turn it off and we'll see what happens. I'll be right back.
You know, I was thinking, luckily, we have a system restore for our lives, right? You know what that's called?
DCT.
Reincarnation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but what about short-term solutions?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, okay?
Call that morning.
Let me start the...
Hey, Ben, hold on 1 second. Let's do a sound check.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Yesterday, your phone wasn't the greatest, and again today, it's not so great.
Is this better now?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
But is Terry back?
Not yet.
Da-da-da-da-da. Well, did she hang up?
Yes, she did.
So we were talking about system restore, and I was commenting that reincarnation is kind of a system restore for our soul. But it's not a system restore for our lives this life. And
you go back to the same software, kind of, right?
Well, you go back to the same soul. Now, let me start the recording. This sounds like it might be profound. Let's see what comes out.
This conference is being recorded.
This is January 9th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everyone everywhere. And we're talking about detachment. And somehow, before we just got started, we got talking about computers. System restore. And in system restore, you can reset your computer to a previous date. And it usually gives you... Well, what's the matter, Terry? Why don't you give me your phone and your headset? I'll try to talk and fix it. Okay. System restore sets your computer back to a certain date. Can you hear me now?
Well, that's good, but your tendency is because of light.
You're good, Ben.
Okay. Who was that? That was Doug, I think. Huh? All right. So, interesting here. All right. So, system restore. See, now I'm screwing up because Terry's giving me her phone and her headset's not working. Now, I'll tell you, it took us a long time to get Terry to bond with the headset. Terry's one of those people that electronics would tend to break around her all the time. And different times I said, how am I going to do this? I mean, here we are, we're on these calls, and her headset breaks, her phone breaks, and I'm never sure if it actually broke or if she pushed the wrong button. It could very likely be either. And but nonetheless, you know, Terry, I got you a phone in there that plugs directly into your phone that's not Bluetooth. Go find it, okay? And then you could just plug it in and you'll be on, okay? Remember that? But you don't know where it is, right? Okay. So, detachment. You know, I've heard the word detachment for many, many, many years. When you start studying something like Zen Buddhism or various sects, they talk about detachment. And when I first was exposed to that idea, it seemed to be like you're supposed to be able to walk around and be above everything and always be in balance and nothing would bother you. And you could always be neutral. And I had that idea for quite some time. And in fact, it was even a model of something I was supposed to attain to be able to just walk around and be neutral. And over time, I learned that I didn't really understand the idea of detachment correctly. At least, I don't think I did. And I had to re-understand it, particularly now, talking to the Elohim and the Ra group and all this cosmic stuff. The idea of detachment has a different meaning to me. Because originally, it seemed like you were supposed to be passionless. You were supposed to be emotionally neutral. And you were supposed to have no needs. And you didn't need anything in the world. And I tried that at different times. And it never worked out. I mean, I found out that if I was denying myself, then I was really out of balance. And I had to figure out, where did detachment meet being human? Now, this is from my point of view and my experience, and I think it works for a lot more people than me. But I'll explain it from my perspective and see if it adds something to your guys' comprehension and ability to work around things in your life. The real essence of detachment, the idea that you can walk around and not need anything and just be above it all, I don't think is accurate if you've gotten that idea in that way. I think what Jesus said is fairly accurate when he said, I am in this world, but not of it. Okay, Jerry, I see you're on the line. Are you on the line?
This,
Jerry?
This too.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, yeah. You have a headset plugged in? Could you try to get settled so we can continue? I'm going to forget what we're talking about.
I just want to hold it out in front of me because this headset's broken, too.
All right, hold it out. Okay?
Okay.
That's fine. All right. Right now, I'm going to talk for a while before we do sessions, okay?
Okay.
And so just relax, okay?
All right.
All right. So, and I'm going to mute you because you're making too many rattling sounds. Okay. And, Hayes, keep an eye on her so when we're going to do something, you can unmute her.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thanks. So, detachment doesn't mean that you shouldn't be involved in things. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be passionate. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't experience life. In fact, for many people, life experience is very important to get you to your next level. And if you think you should deny life experience, then you may end up being stuck and keep recycling something. And many people, and probably myself, were involved in deep, passionate, loving relationships and got hurt. And then you thought, well, I'm not going to do that again. And then you would just deny relationships and connection with other people. And there's an element of growth that happens in relationships that doesn't happen anywhere else. Or it's hard to get that experience elsewhere. And I have watched people that I've been close to get extremely hurt in relationship and go for 20 years avoiding, in fact, they end up dying without ever having a relationship again. And from my observation, they were hurting all the time from their loneliness. And they were trying to work around it and make pretend it didn't exist. But they got so hurt in the relationship that they didn't venture in it, or they thought they weren't supposed to have it. Women get this in particular. And I don't think that's necessarily the best way to deal with it. It's almost better. Why are relationships so important to our growth? Why is that? Well, from my perspective and my experience, it's men and women in general, and this isn't in general comments, so specifics would be different, but in general, hold opposite sides of the universe hologram. In other words, each of us has a hologram that goes above us, beyond us, and our soul is formed around that hologram, and men and women have different holograms. And when they come together within a sexual interchange, their holograms get, I'm not saying this always happens, but in the best of circumstances, their holograms start to blend, just like we blend on the call. They blend, and they start learning about the part of their hologram or their matrix or their subconscious, whatever you want to call it. They start learning and educating themselves as to what was missing in their own hologram. Okay? And over a time, they start to integrate it all. And whether if they have really a great interchange and exchange, they will then integrate or begin the integration of the part of their hologram that was missing. And they will start to incorporate the feminine or the masculine, or you could call it the divine feminine or the divine masculine. But they start to integrate it, and they then become more complete in themselves. And someone that starts to do that is the beginning of a certain kind of enlightenment, in which case, when you're stuck in one side of the matrix or the other, you will then have a predisposition to always have the male side of the hologram, which means the tendency is to always be thrusting, to be dominating, to be worldly, etc., etc., etc. And if you're in the other side of the hologram, in the feminine side of the hologram, the tendency is to be receptive, nurturing, all the things that have to do with the feminine. Now, obviously, everybody has, this is an oversimplification, because there are men that can be very sensitive, and there are women that can be very assertive, okay? And if somebody is stuck in one side or the other, it's a growth factor for them to be able to assimilate the other side of the hologram. And the only way that I see that someone can do that is by experiencing the energy of that hologram. In other words, when you experience a really sensitive, nurturing woman, if you're a man, not only does it make you feel more complete, but it also starts teaching you those energies of that side of the hologram. And sexually, when people come together, they do that. They actually have a complete, well, I won't say they do, but in the optimum situation, they have a complete merging of their energies, and it starts a process of making you feel more complete, which is why it's so painful if it separates, because you felt that completion, and if it doesn't work, you feel empty. But the truth of the matter is, you have now a learning curve going on, because since everything is you, the woman was an aspect of you, and the man is an aspect of the woman, and it's all one, and we learn from the exchange of those energies. And if we do it right, even when we're in our most hurt space, if you don't judge the other person, like she hurt me, if you don't do things that, if you assume full responsibility, you can start a process of assimilating the energies that you experience. And it doesn't necessarily happen overnight, and you might even need more relationships and more experiences before you get it to stick. But eventually, it will stick. And you can feel more complete. Now, in talking about detachment and its relationship to passion and detachment, I'm talking about the kinds of experiences someone can have in the world that help them grow. That those experiences are invaluable if you can take them in the right way for your own growth and you integrate energies. And figuring out this balance between masculine and feminine is something that almost everyone gets faced with. And again, it's like the yin-yang symbol, where you have yin and yang. Yin is feminine, and yang is masculine. And the two come together in a circle, and enlightenment is related to the embracing of both things, okay? Well, let's go back to detachment a moment and process. In your life, if you can stay in the moment, it will very likely lead to detachment. And it means totally embracing every experience and seeing where you go with that experience. And when the experience stops, embracing that experience, which is sometimes harder, particularly in a man-woman connection. But if it's in front of you, if it's in your face, you have two choices. You can curse it. You can curse the world. You can be mad at the woman. She left me, or the man, or whatever. Or he cheated on me, or I don't trust that anymore. You can see why cheating becomes such a hard thing in a relationship. Because if two people have totally embraced each other's energies and are connecting their energies up deeply, and suddenly one of the persons give the energy to someone else, it is very difficult because they feel, well, even if the person isn't conscious of it, even if they don't know, they feel the disconnection. They feel the disconnection in that, okay? And so, how do you work this? Well, probably, if two people are working in the now, and they're working on processing each other, or processing themselves, and you do things up front, then people can readjust their own energies and get back into neutral and then come back to someone else. In a sense, I have to do that with this group. And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I don't. But it's kind of like I feel in a certain way I'm in a love relationship with all of you, okay? Even though we don't know each other, I feel you. I end up processing energies. For the past 3 days, I slept, and I knew I was processing energy. I was really out of balance. And then, but if I move into something else, I have to be able to pull my energy out of being connected to everybody and then put it into something else and then come back to it. That's what my experience is. And things don't just happen automatically. It's like I'm really connecting. I feel your energy. You feel my energy. You feel Terry's energy. Terry is probably not quite as good as I am at doing this. But I learned by doing it that I could do it. It's been a process of education, you know? It's been a process of integration. And I'm still learning. And I have to be in the moment all the time. Just like when I'm talking now, I'm in the moment. I don't prepare my talks. I'm lucky if I think of a topic, and I'm lucky if I stay on it. But that keeps me in the moment. And when the show is over, when the whole Planet Healing is over, I have to be able to let it go and move to the next thing and to the next thing. And the detachment comes from being in the moment and being able to be totally present in the moment. And then when that moment ends, let it go to the next moment and to the next moment. In which case, one becomes in a state of recreation. You are creating. You are jumping. It's as if you're on a bunch of brick rocks crossing a river. And you jump to one, and then you have to jump to the next, and jump to the next. And each rock has its own grounding and its own stability. And you get grounded on that rock, and then you're jumping to the next. And when you get to the next, the other rock is behind. It's not there anymore. You can't take it with you. If you try to take it with you, you stop your motion because now you're trying to hold on to all the rocks, and you can only be on one at a time. And so the key to this is observing, as you move through your life, how much you carry from one moment or one situation to the next. Can you be totally with your partner and then walk out the door and be totally with your job? And then you go on service call. Can you be totally with each service call? And you go home and you're back with your partner again, and you know, you're being nurtured and balanced, and go back to the job again the next day, for example, or any number of things. Your life, everyone's life, is a series of situations that you're moving through, and being able to be with a situation 100% and to be able to walk away from it and come back to it and then walk away. I mean, if you have a 100% situation and you try to glom onto it, which doesn't mean that can't work, but if you need two people that have the same purpose in life, they're working the same business, they have the same goals, they have, they can constantly reinforce every aspect of each other's lives, and it works as a total team, that's a wonderful circumstance, but it's fairly rare. So normally, lives become segmented, and this person fits into this part of my life, and this person fits into that part of my life. But then we want the first person to fit into more of our life than they do. And it's very hard to make that work unless it happens naturally. You can't force that. You can't force your partner to believe in the things you believe in, or vice versa. The one thing you can do is run an exercise of seeing God in your partner, seeing all that is in your children, seeing them, seeing what they're striving for, and supporting them in what they're striving for, and not trying to turn them into something that you want them to be. You'll notice in our relationships with our sources, one of the things that I've experienced with them, and probably if you think about it, you've experienced, is that they actually support you in what you are trying to reach to do for yourself. What you are wanting to become in yourself. They never, to my memory or experience, have said what they want us to be for them, other than to be happy, other than to be more radiant in your love. They're not looking for followers. They're not looking for numbers, but they have the ability to help us be more of who we are. And I have the feeling that when we become more of who we are, they can actually add their energy to us and to each one of us in a unique way that helps us and helps us be more of who we are and help other people. Then in turn, we help other people be more who they are. And when everybody's doing that, you have a lot of love going on, because who doesn't want people to be more of who they are? You're helping me be more of who I am. and you're helping Terry be more of who she is. And ultimately, we're not a club. We're all totally individuals. We have totally separate lives. And you, as you go through your life, and you can start observing yourself from a higher plane, you then, in that act of observation, are becoming more detached. But that doesn't take away one iota from having an exquisite experience within your own physical form, which everyone deserves. Everyone deserves an exquisite experience of being alive. And it's hard to have that without detachment, because then you're afraid of being hurt. You're afraid of being misunderstood. You're afraid people won't see you in the way you want to be seen. You keep trying to mock up self-images that people will respond to. And when you do that, there's an inauthenticity in that that makes real energy connection difficult or unlikely. So the key is how do you do that? And part of it is being detached. We've talked at other times about observing yourself. And observing yourself is one of the tools to be detached, because the part of you that is observing yourself is not the part of you that's in the dilemma, okay? The part of you that's in the dilemma is stuck there, and it just keeps recycling the dilemma. But as soon as you observe yourself and start watching yourself, then you are watching the dilemma, and that immediately separates you from the dilemma. I was reading, I sent some sayings out today. One of them was from Sam Snead, the golfer. To be consistently effective, you must put a certain distance between yourself and what happens to you on the golf course. This is not indifference. It's detachment, okay? And there's some other interesting points of view. I don't come from a famous family and don't have this detachment from everyday people in everyday life. I'm just doing my job, and the attention that comes with it is part of the territory. Okay? I never even heard of this guy, Ed Westlake, okay? But, you know, most people crave attention. And attention, probably attention and money, are two of the biggest things that suck people in this realm, to keep them from being detached. And, I mean, I see it myself. I get a certain amount of attention because, for whatever reasons of what I do, and I have truly become detached from it. I remember when I very first started playing music in front of audiences, for a while, I didn't know how to get anybody's attention. I didn't sing very well. My songs were quiet and sensitive, and I would play them, and nobody paid attention. Or I didn't really even understand how to create attention. And then I started being funny, and suddenly I had all this attention. And then I would sing a sensitive song, and I'd have this magic. And I remember the very first time I felt the magic and really connection, I freaked out. I thought, oh my God, they're all paying attention to me. They're in the palm of my hand. Oh, what am I going to pay? What am I going to do? And I blew it every time. I had to keep doing it until I got comfortable with the attention. okay? It's probably why I can do this now and talk like this, because I got comfortable with the attention so that I didn't even respond to it. Or I responded to it like I felt the energy of it, but I didn't get self-conscious, because I would get self-conscious, like, God, if I say the wrong thing, I'm going to blow it, all right? So that was, took me a while to learn, and it was another way of learning detachment, detachment from attention, detachment from money, detachment from things that you think are inattainable, and learn how to attain them and not get hooked by them, okay? That's the trick. Now, I don't know, let's see, Terry, we can have a few words from our sources on this topic here. Now, let me see if I can unmute Terry.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now, okay.
Okay, I found another headset.
Another one that you plugged in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you had a good one there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you sound perfect, okay?
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So let me call in the light and get our sources' comments on these topics, okay?
Okay.
Have you been listening and taking stuff in?
Yes.
Yeah. Did it make any sense to you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our soul. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others. Honoring the law of one to join with us, we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and we have about 6 minutes here. I'm going to turn it over to our sources to make their comments on the idea of attachment, passion, and anything they want to comment on about what I was talking about. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We see relationship as something that is very needed. Relationship is very important in connection, spirit connection, emotional connection, the ability to learn through connection. Oftentimes, the relationship provides with it, although it can be difficult at times. The situations the person needs to go through in order to grow. There is one thing, perhaps in a relationship or more, where the individual, when they allow themselves to interact in the area, are able to move through in their growth so they can get through areas of blockages. They can get a reflection back from the other person in how their projection is received, viewed, and one can learn an immense amount by working through these situations. Couples often choose then their partner based upon a locked up area of their life, to a blockage that they are seeking to move through. Connection can provide fulfillment, which can make a person grow, and it can be one of the most fruitful aspects of a person's life. Do you have questions?
Well, one question I would like to ask, and I know this has come up for some people in our group, people get enamored with the work we're doing, and they connect with it energetically, and their partner doesn't have that experience, and sometimes they end up feeling separated from their partner, which to me I don't think is necessary. In fact, if our work is doing the right thing, it doesn't matter whether their partner is connecting with it or not, because the person that's connecting with it should, in the best of all situations, have more tools for loving, making their partner feel loved. Could you comment on this?
Give us a moment. Individuals have their own path, their own things that they are working towards. Sometimes individuals feel that this work, their attention to this work, is taking attention from them, from the relationship, and then they feel jealous and they do not see the value of the person's connection to this work, because they wish and seek that the person pay strict attention to them. And it is an opening for broadening out, which will help the one person and even the other when the person pursues it. So in a situation where that happens, to make your partner feel loved in some way that is more than normal can really help to some degree the situation. It is a pattern where one is able to move into a broader aspect, but the partner is sitting within a more limited aspect.
Sounds to me like I would like to ask more questions on this, but we don't have time. So thank you for coming in and sharing that. And I'm just curious, was in the answer to that question, was that purely Elohim, or were there Ra mixed?
We are a blend of the Elohim and the Ra.
Mm-hmm. So it was both.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We're going to go over to our Whole Planet Healing call. Hi, do you want to give the phone number for that?
All right, then. Which is 712-770-4340, access code 250-513 pound.
All right. We'll see you all. Those of you that show up there, we'll see you in a moment.